turn to the book of John, chapter 6, also chapter 10, and chapter 17. Each of these passages, Jesus is doing the speaking. John chapter 6, we'll read verses 37 through verse 39. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I am come down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. This is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Then in the book of John, chapter 10, we'll read verses 27 through verse 29. Again, Jesus doing the speaking. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they, my sheep, follow me. I give unto them, my sheep, eternal life, and they, my sheep, shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And then in John chapter 17, read verses 1 and 2. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Verse 6, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Verse 9, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Verse 11, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Verse 12, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Then in verse 24, Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. I want to consider tonight the doctrine of election. It's one of the clearest doctrines taught in the Word of God, yet one of the most hated in the religious world. The world basically could care less. But the religious world hates the doctrine of election. But it's very clearly taught in the Word of God. Its clarity is expressed in such words as predestinate. We read in Romans 8 and verse 29, we are predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son. That is, we were predetermined beforehand to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. We see the word chosen. Everybody knows what it means to choose. Everybody knows what the word chosen means. It means to select. It means to pick from another, from a number. Doesn't mean anything different when it comes to the Word of God. Still means the same thing. It means to select certain ones, to select a certain number from a number. Notice in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation. Chosen you to salvation. Now that's pretty clear. Someone will say, well, that's your interpretation. Well, what's your interpretation? Chosen you to salvation. How else can you interpret that? It means exactly what it says. You have the word elect. You have the word election all through the word of God. You have the word appointed, which means that something is fixed, something is settled, something is established by decree or by purpose. Notice in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 9, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but, so God has not appointed us to wrath, but he has appointed us to obtain salvation. And that, of course, is by our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way salvation can be obtained. But we have been appointed to obtain the salvation that is in Christ. We see the word ordained. Notice in the book of Acts chapter 13. The book of Acts chapter 13 and verse 48. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many... Seems like a specific number is being talked about. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. So all of those words, of course, teach the doctrine of election. It's taught all through the scriptures. The question is, does God choose sinners to be saved and then provide for their salvation? Or does God provide the way of salvation and leave it up to sinners to choose for themselves? Has to be one or the other. One is of grace, the other is of works. One is completely dependent upon God, the other is completely dependent upon man. The Bible teaches that God chose a people, and God provided salvation for that people. And therefore, salvation is certain for that people, for a particular people. Now, the passages that we read for our text are the words of Christ. In every one of those passages, Jesus teaches the doctrine of election. The master teacher teaches upon the doctrine of election. In each of those passages, Jesus Christ very clearly, very distinctly, and undeniably lays out the doctrine of election. He does so in such a way that a child can understand it. And it's very plain. The most simple can understand what Jesus is saying. But the truth is, folks do not want to believe it because they do not want to take salvation out of their hands, which is beyond me. They do not want to take salvation out of their own hands. So they refuse to see what is as plain as the noonday sun. Again, what Jesus says here, Jesus, when he teaches, he does so in a very simple manner. And what he says in these verses, there is nothing. There is absolutely nothing in these verses that we've read that is difficult to understand. Not one thing. It's all very plain. It's not difficult to comprehend. He presented it in the simplest and the plainest of terms. So we want to go back and we want to look at each of these scriptures and see how Jesus taught the doctrine of election. Now, if we go back to John chapter 6, I want you to notice in each of these passages, Jesus teaches us that somebody gave somebody to somebody. I mean, he makes it very plain. Somebody gave somebody to somebody. John 6, verse 37, he says, "All that the Father giveth me." All that the Father giveth me. Who did the giving? The Father. God the Father. Is there anything that we do not understand by all that the Father giveth me? Somebody gave somebody to somebody. That's very plain. John 6, verse 39. "And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he going back to the Father, hath given me." Which is just another way of saying all that the Father giveth me. And then notice in John chapter 10, we read verses 27 through 29. Talks about the sheep in verse 27 and 28. But then in verse 29, he says, "My Father, which gave them me," the them referring back to the sheep that were given by the Father. Once again, somebody gave somebody to somebody. Everybody can see that. That is very, very clear. Then notice in John chapter 17, John 17, verse 2, the latter part of the verse, "As many as thou..." Now the thou goes back to the Father, because in verse 1, "These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father." He's talking to the Father. He's praying to the Father. So when he says thou, he's referring to the Father, God the Father. And he says the Father has given him. And then notice in verse 6, "Thou," again, the Father, "gavest me." In verse 9, "Thou, the Father, hast given me." In verse 11, "Those whom thou hast given me." Again, in each case, thou going back to the Father. In verse 12, "Those that thou gavest me." In verse 24, "Thou hast given me." So in this prayer, you have 6 times that Jesus says, "Thou hast given me." Somebody gave somebody to somebody. God the Father gave somebody to somebody. Jesus makes that clear here in John chapter 17. Then notice in the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, and verse 13. "And again I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me." So God the Father gave somebody to somebody. That fact is established in each of those verses. That leads to the question, to whom? To whom was somebody given? Again, if we go back to each of these verses, again in John chapter 6, verse 37, who's doing the speaking? Jesus is doing the speaking. So when we read the word me, it obviously is referring to Jesus. So when he says, all that the Father giveth me, that means the Father gave somebody to Jesus Christ. In verse 39, that of all which he hath given me, again the Father gave somebody to Jesus Christ. In John chapter 10, my Father which gave them me, verse 29 again, me referring to Jesus Christ. So God the Father gave somebody to Jesus Christ. All you have to do is read those verses, and anybody can see that God the Father gave somebody to Jesus Christ. That's what it says. There's no other way, there's no possible way you can get anything else out of that. God the Father gave somebody to Jesus Christ. John chapter 17, verse 2, again, thou hast given him. The him is referring back to verse 1. He said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son. So the Father has given him. Who? The Son, Jesus Christ. So God the Father gave somebody to Jesus Christ, the Son. Now he makes that clear again in verse 6, thou gavest me. Verse 9, thou hast given me. In verse 11, whom thou hast given me. In verse 12, thou gavest me. And in verse 24, thou hast given me. Again, it's not difficult. It's not difficult to see. There's two facts established thus far. God the Father gave somebody to somebody. God the Father gave somebody, the somebody he gave to was Jesus Christ. So God the Father gave somebody to Jesus Christ. When did he do that? When did God the Father give somebody to Christ? Again, the fact has been established that God the Father gave somebody to Christ. So now we ask when. When did that take place? Well, if we go again back to John chapter 6 and verse 37. John 6, verse 37. All that the Father giveth me, notice it doesn't say has come to me. Not what it says. All that the Father has given me shall, future tense, come to me. From that simple statement, somebody was given by God the Father to Christ before they ever came to Christ. All that thou hast given me shall come. So these individuals that say, well, when you come, that's when God chose you. No, that's not what it says. It says, all that the Father giveth me shall come. So they were given before they ever came. So we know that much. Then notice in John chapter 10, and we'll read a couple other verses that we didn't read our text, but in John 10 and verse 11, he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Verse 27, my sheep, those are the ones that the shepherd gives his life for. They hear my voice, and I know them, my sheep, and they follow me. He knows them because God the Father gave them to him. In verse 28, and I give unto them eternal life. Now I want to say that God the Father gave somebody to Jesus Christ before the Good Shepherd gave his life for the sheep. Before Jesus Christ went to the cross, God the Father gave somebody to Jesus Christ. Before they ever received eternal life, God the Father had given them to Christ. And I give unto them, that is my sheep, eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them, who? The sheep. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. So God the Father gave somebody to Christ before they ever came to Jesus Christ. God the Father gave somebody to Jesus Christ before Jesus Christ laid down his life for them. He gave them to Jesus Christ before they had received eternal life. And then notice in John 17 and verse 6, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Now, for all of these individuals who say, well, God gave the whole world to Christ, read that again. The men which thou gavest me out of the world. Is that difficult to understand? Not at all. He didn't give the whole world to Christ. But there were certain ones that thou gavest me out of the world. And he says, I have manifested thy name unto them. So God the Father gave these people to Christ before Christ manifested the Father unto them. That is, before they were saved. Then if we go over to the book of Ephesians, very familiar verse, chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Again, we're looking at when. We know that God the Father gave somebody to Jesus Christ. He gave them to Christ before they ever came to Him. So coming to Christ is not the basis for election. Coming to Christ is a result of. He gave them to Christ before Christ ever went to the cross. He gave them to Christ before they had ever received eternal life. So receiving eternal life is not the basis of this choice, but the result of. And before God was ever manifested to them, God the Father gave a people to Jesus Christ. So we know that much about when. But Paul breaks it down even further for us in Ephesians 1, verse 3 and 4. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. According as He, God the Father, hath chosen us. Again, everybody understands what the word chosen means. And it doesn't mean anything different here. Hath chosen us in Him. That is, in Christ. You are not chosen because of anything in you. You were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world, before creation. We were chosen in Christ. Now this choosing is the same as God the Father gave a people unto Christ. Then notice in the book of Revelation, chapter 17. Now, when God the Father gave this people unto Christ, their names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We read of some here that worshiped the beast during the tribulation period. The beast that thou sawest was and is not shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. They that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world. That tells us that some folks' names were written in the Lamb's book of life before the foundation of the world. But not everybody's name was written down, because these weren't. So before the foundation of the world, when God gave a people to Jesus Christ, their names were written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. There's no such thing today as a new name written down in glory. No such thing. God has given a people, God has given somebody to Jesus Christ. And He did so before the foundation of the world. That leads to the question. We know that God the Father gave somebody to Christ. He did so before the foundation of the world. So who did He give? Who did God the Father give to Jesus Christ? Because you see, election is always particular. When you make a choice, it is always particular. Always. And so it is when God the Father gave a people to Christ. He gave a particular people to Jesus Christ. Now we're told by Jesus in John 6, verse 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. So all those given will come. Now, that's not the reason they were given, because they would come, because no man will come. But the reason they come is because they were given to Jesus Christ. So that guarantees that some will come. Who will come? Those whom the Father has given to Christ. John chapter 10, verse 27. Those given to Christ will in time hear the shepherd's voice. And in response to hearing the shepherd's voice, they will come. They will follow Jesus Christ. So, the gift of the Father of a people to the Son guarantees certain things. It guarantees that this people will come. Guaranteed. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to fret about it. They will come. And Jesus said, I have not lost one. They will all come. Now, those that have been given to Christ, when the Father gave them the Christ, that was not conditioned upon anything in those that were given. Notice Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9, verse 11. For the children, being not yet born, anybody that doesn't understand that? The children being not yet born. That's before birth. It's not difficult. That's before birth. Neither having done any good or evil. They haven't been born yet. They haven't done anything good They haven't done anything evil. But then notice that, or in order, that the purpose of God, the purpose of God, the Arminian today completely ignores the purpose of God. They act as if God has no purpose. But according to the purpose of God, according to election might stand. And how does this election stand? Not of works. Is that hard to understand? Not of works. Well, that's your interpretation. What's your interpretation? Not of works. Election stands not of works, or not by works. That is, our works has absolutely nothing to do with election. Nothing. Well, God knew that you would believe, and therefore He chose you. What does that say? That says God knew that I would be smarter than the person who didn't believe, so He chose me. Sounds like I did something to earn God's choice. If I did one thing to earn it, that's works. And if it's works, then grace is no more grace. It's not of works, but of Him. And you need to just stop right there, but of Him. Election stands not of works, but of Him. How can you get any plainer? Of Him that calleth. Now you read Romans chapter 8, and He calls in time. We were chosen before the foundation of the world. We were chosen before time. And all that have been chosen will come. And all that have been chosen will hear the shepherd's voice. In other words, the shepherd's going to call. And election stands on Him that calleth. So we see that God the Father gave somebody to Christ before the foundation of the world. Those whom He gave to Christ, the reason for the giving was nothing to do with the individual, but strictly of Him who calleth. Strictly by the grace of God, as Romans chapter 11 makes so clear. That brings us to our last point. For what purpose? For what purpose did God the Father give somebody to Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world? If God gave somebody to Christ, if God gave somebody to somebody, He did so with a purpose. Because God doesn't do anything without purpose. If God gave somebody to Jesus Christ, He did so with a purpose. If God gave somebody to Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world, He did so with a purpose. And we know what the purpose is. And the reason we know is because Jesus, the master teacher, who has already taught us that God the Father gave Him somebody before the foundation of the world, He now tells us why. He tells us exactly why. Notice again, John chapter 6, verse 38. Again, He said in verse 37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh, who's going to come? Those that the Father has given him. I will in no wise cast out. He's not going to turn them away. Verse 38, for I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, that is independent of God's will, but I came down to do the will of him that sent me. And this is, well, that's pretty plain. I came to do the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me. And he's going to tell us what it is. So you can't get any plainer. That of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing. He would not lose a single one, but should raise it up again at the last day. The reason God the Father gave a people to Jesus Christ was to keep them. And so that Jesus Christ would raise them up at the last day. John 17, verse 2. John 17 and verse 2. So thou hast given him power over all flesh. Jesus Christ has power over all flesh, saved, lost. He has power over all flesh. The reason is that he has power over all flesh, that in order that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. I am so glad that it does not say that he should offer eternal life to all. That's not what it says. Now, I believe the offer's there, but there's only certain ones that's going to get it. Should give eternal life to as many. No more, no less. To as many as thou hast given him. God the Father gave somebody to Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world for the purpose of Jesus Christ saving them. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people. His people are the ones that the Father gave him before the foundation of the world. He shall save his people from their sins. Notice in 2 Timothy chapter 1, again talking about for what purpose these were given. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 and verse 9. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. That is, we were not saved according to our works. We were not called according to our works, but according to his own purpose, which lines up with what we read in Romans 9, verse 11. We are saved, we are called according to his own purpose. And his own purpose is a purpose of grace. To his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus. That is, God's purpose and God's grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So very, very plain. As I read these scriptures, it seems to me that somebody at some time gave somebody to somebody for some purpose. God the Father gave a people to Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world so that Jesus Christ would save that people. That ought to fill us with amazement. People will say all the time, I don't know why God chose me. I do. Because he wanted to. assured it had nothing to do with you. Read Ephesians chapter 1. According to the good purpose of His will, which is just another way of saying because I wanted to. But that ought to fill us with amazement. That ought to fill us with wonder. That ought to fill us with awe and thanksgiving that God chose to save me, that God purposed to save me from before the foundation of the world, that in God's eyes, my salvation was never in question. It was never in jeopardy. Humanly speaking, it might have been, but not in God's eyes. It never was in jeopardy. That ought to fill us with praise. Amen. That ought to humble us. Amen. Like nothing else. That ought to fill us with zeal. And it ought to fill us with determination to serve the one who made us a part of the somebody given to Christ. So when I read what Jesus said, somebody gave somebody to somebody. And since I have come to Christ, and since God has granted me eternal life, and since I have heard the voice of the shepherd, and since I know the voice of the shepherd, then I must be that somebody that God the Father gave to Jesus Christ for the purpose of my salvation. You know what that makes me? I'm somebody. I'm somebody in Christ. I'm nothing. None of us are. We're nothing. But we're all somebody in Christ. Never, ever forget that. I'm somebody in Christ. God the Father, just because He wanted to, gave me to Jesus Christ. And I believe with all my heart, you can believe what you want to believe, but I believe with all of my heart that when Jesus prayed there in the garden in John chapter 17, He's praying for all those that the Father gave Him. He said, I'm not praying for the world. I'm praying for those which Thou hast given me out of the world. And I believe that He knew each one of us by name when He prayed. I don't believe He was praying a general prayer. You say, well, that would have been an awful long prayer. Not to one who's omniscient, who knows everything. He knew my name. You know, my parents couldn't have named me anything else. My name had already been written down. Lamb's Book of Life. And I believe He prayed for me in John chapter 17. Again, that makes me somebody in Christ. Oh, how we ought to rejoice to be saved. How we ought to rejoice that one day we came to Christ all because of what God has done. But Larry, you